folks.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God.
You're going to upset the engineer, you know.
I know. She knows it. She's already given me the ugly eye. This is what we call my friends. Oh, welcome back, my friends. This is Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, live from Cutter's Cigar Emporium. And that's a great word, Emporium. You know, Emporium's a beautiful word. And we're right here on Windward Parkway. We're a quarter mile west of the beautiful and incredible 400 on Windward Parkway. It's really easy to find. It's the only... It's right on the front of the strip mall, the first strip mall past 400. And I just... Pete, the wonderful Pete, he gave me one of these Centurions by Don Pepin because Chef Eric hid the box that he was given. But anyway, not to throw him under the bus. Well, Greyhound bus number 57 coming across Eric's back. But this is a great cigar. But talking about great cigars, something that goes great with great cigars is great food and great beverages. And great food is why we have a CIA chef who also is a doctor of nutrition, who really takes nutrition to a whole nother meaning. Doc Sean, welcome, my friend. But I got to tell you, I'm afraid we're going to have to take your first name away from you.
Okay.
Because I heard you say something that was absolutely hideous off mic. Of course, everyone knows of my very famous and great Irish heritage. And one of the things that makes Ireland great is potatoes. And here in the United States, we have potato salad, mashed spuds. We eat potatoes as a staple part. And you said something that was really painful, and that was?
Potatoes are not always the best thing for you. It depends where you are in health. You have to sometimes understand what's going in your body, and potatoes, as nutritious as they can be, are very high in sugar. And if you're suffering with any kind of inflammatory disease like diabetes, heart disease, cancer, arthritis, potatoes can actually aggravate that because of the high sugar content. And it really doesn't matter how you cook them. It just depends on where you're going. Now, it'd be healthier to eat the skin than the actual potato inside. So if you want to make some very thin potato skins, load them up with some good quality bacon, some raw cheddar, that'd actually be better for you.
And you know what? Good sour cream. And
if it's grass-fed, you can have as much as you want. And that's the key. And a lot of Eric asked me that a little while ago about the grass-fed issue is, you know, God designed cows to eat grass, not grain. I understand the corn-fed steak industry, yes, it's very prime beef, but most of the beef people eat aren't necessarily prime. So you really want to look for a cow that eats grass most of its life or all of its life because it actually makes it healthier than salmon for your heart. Grass-fed beef actually has everything you need to survive on all the B vitamins, the proper fats, the proper ratio. But when a cow eats grain, it really flips it on its side and actually can become toxic for you.
Well, you know, speaking about eating steak, of course, my favorite steak amongst all else is the cut, the ribeye.
Yeah.
Because of the wonderful fat content and marbling.
Yeah.
So you're saying if I eat grass-fed, which I'm from the Midwest, we don't eat a lot of grass-fed anything up there. I'm from the Corn Belt.
Yep.
But anyway, so you're saying that if I ate, God forbid, my friends up in Sycamore, Illinois, I'm sorry, if I ate a grass-fed ribeye, does that mean I could eat the fat, too?
Yes, you want to eat the fat. That's the point of it. Actually, the steak that goes famously with chimichurri, the
Carrasco.
I had to throw it in there. I had to throw it in there.
You know, now we're going to call you Doc Livingston.
Okay.
Because Sean has been stripped from you dissed our potato, and now you're throwing chimichurri on a steak.
I had to throw the chimichurri in there. I love the sauce, too. But the classic steak, which is your flank steak or skirt steak, is actually one of your fattier pieces because obviously it's there to support the organs for the cattle. But the point is it actually has so much nutrition. It's usually one of the lower priced cuts, and it's almost as soft as a filet if you cut it correctly, and it cooks relatively quickly. It's actually one of the healthiest things you can eat. And look, should you eat it every day? I think you get tired of it. But the point is it wouldn't hurt you. Because as long as it's grass-fed and it's certified, remember that, guys, most cattle are always brought up grass and then grain-finished.
And they finish it to add the
heft. And the grains do basically turn the cows into diabetic monsters because that's what makes them fat faster. And that's why we're getting fat in this country so fast, because we consume so much grain in this country. And it's not that grain is bad for you, but again, it's overconsumption and it's the overprocessing that's the problem.
Doc, being someone who is of size, okay, we prefer, the political correct term is not fat, it is husky.
Husky, yes, or stocky.
No, husky. Because when I was growing up and my parents took me into the exclusive young men's store in Geneva, Illinois, oh, Mrs. Jenkins, step right over here to the husky lab section.
Yes.
And back in the year 19, whatever, that was the... And, you know, I preferred husky to fat.
I like husky. That, too.
Yeah, there,
it
there
works,
you go.
It works.
Well, anyway, now, once again, you dissed our potato, but you said we could eat the skins.
Yeah.
With the proper amount of what was it, a grain or grass-fed cheese.
Some good grass-fed cheddar. It doesn't always have to be raw. As long as it's from a grass-fed cow, it is. I mean, if you want the pasteurization process is an issue. Mm-hmm. Some people are scared about raw dairy because they think it's bacteria-loaded. When you deal with cheese, you're actually destroying that through that cultured process. So it's safe and it's legal in the United States to have raw cheese. Now, raw milk is a different story. And I wouldn't necessarily drink raw milk from any cow. But when you're culturing that cheese, it changes it. And the pasteurization process actually kills off the vitamins and minerals. Then what's the whole reason for drinking milk in the first place? What are you doing it for? What nutritive benefit do you get out of it?
It mixes well with my Hershey's chocolate.
That too, yeah. I mean, that throws another thing. But you think about calcium, you think about vitamin D. When you pasteurize milk, especially the ultra-pasteurization you see, which people think is so good, it actually kills off all the nutrient load. So then how do they sell it with nutrients in it? Where does it come from? It basically is refortified with synthetic vitamin D, synthetic calcium, which you can't even break down, and it actually makes your body very sick. This is why so many people are having problems. I know Eric's going to ask me about the dairy thing in a little while probably and bring out the right question for that.
Well, you know, one thing that I prefer because I'm a man who is a slave to keeping my Adonis-like physique in check, I prefer skim milk.
Well, skim milk's got a problem.
Is there anything I do right, Doc, for God's sake?
Hey, look, it's not the milk. It's just what we've done to it. And if a lot of people are thrown on this no-fat, low-fat bandwagon, and skim milk obviously being low-fat and no-fat in content, it's the garbage of the milk in reality. When they separate the cream, which is where all the nutrition is, it's what's left over, and it's sold for such a high price. So basically, you got to understand that skim milk actually has got more sugar than anything else in it, and will make you just as husky as the next man.
You're learning. You know, Doc, before the show is over, I'll have you a convert to the Colonel's way of thinking. Anyway, Chef Eric, I know you have got another recipe, I am quite sure, excitingly ready, because you've just taken off the incredible stuffed bell peppers. And, you know, that was a staple at Casa Jenkins near Chicago, Illinois. We had stuffed bell peppers all the time. We, of course, weren't as forward-thinking of having bison. We ate corn-fed beef, Angus, right off my dad's law partner's farm. But this looks pretty good, Chef Eric.
Yeah, I think it looks great. And you know, these are the recipes Sean gave me, and they're a home run. The cod just came off, and we served that. And I think that...
How did the cod go, guys? Let's hear it.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Yeah.
Good. So, and now I've got the stuffed bell peppers coming off, and I'll probably split these down the middle, so we'll have 8 portions, and I'll add some cheese.
Let's see if you have 4. That means you have 4 of them.
Yes, I have 4 of them. You're... Wow.
That Catholic school education.
You are sharper than... anyway. And... so we'll see. I think that looks pretty good too. I'm happy about the bison meat. I love bison meat. So, we'll cut that down the middle and I'll serve that in a second. But what I want to get started though is our, shepherd's pie, which is, again, a little bit different perhaps.
No.
What?
I have a feeling by your churlish grin.
Well, I know you're going to appreciate.
Oh, really?
The spuds that I'm using. Yeah,
but Doc says you can't use spuds.
Oh no!
Did you get these from Ireland?
Yeah, no, I got some. I got.
Oh really?
Yeah, don't tell Doc because I got some spuds for you, and I'm just going to go in back here for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to blend them up. But maybe while I'm doing that, maybe Doc, you could tell him and you know, keep him occupied. Tell him about the different types of cows. I didn't know this information.
Sure.
The different strains.
I guess we can get back to dairy. That is a big thing in this country. A lot of times when people think of dairy cattle, one of the reasons that they do grain feed them at the end is because it actually helps them produce more milk for that process. And obviously dairy cows to eating beef cattle are going to be treated a little bit differently. But there's and we're going to get technical again, but there's casein, which is the actual word that triggers whoever's lactose intolerant to get nervous. And the casein, which is a type of protein in milk, basically, there's two types we deal with. There's beta A1 casein, which is in the current milk we're drinking, which is your standard Holstein cow, which is your classic black and white patch, typical cow. And then you have a beta A1-2 casein, which is from an ancient type breed, which are your Jersey cows or your typical Middle Eastern cattle from India that they have, which is now being brought back into our industry slowly, but it's happening. And what happened is they did not choose beta A1 to hurt you on purpose. It was done by accident because beta A1 actually made the cows produce more milk faster. So there was a production necessary to do it, but it caused a reaction to our bodies, which we weren't ready for.
What a surprise. A Jersey something from Jersey is different. Boy, that's a shock. Anyway, here on Chef and the Fat Man, my friends, we are full of it when it comes to information for your health on this wonderful and wondrous Father's Day. When we come back, Chef Eric is going to make some shepherd's pie with my favorite potatoes, and he's really going to make Doc nervous. Chef and the Fat Man live from Cutter's Cigar Emporium, Windward Parkway, 1/4 mile west of 400, baby.